Well, raise it up in the air if you got your Bible. Oh, I see them phones back there. I'll tell you what. All right, raise it up there in the air. Okay. Put that phone up in the air. Now shake it at the devil a little bit. Let's let him know we've got the Word of God. Amen. And we come to do battle, and we're going to win this thing through the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 12 today, and fellas, if you want to come over to that meeting, I ain't promising you'll get anything deep. We'll try to get you some water, but you want to come in that meeting about security issues here at the church, we'd sure appreciate you coming. Hebrews chapter 12, is everybody there again? Say amen. Amen. That's the only time some of you ever says amen. Now this morning, I want to tell you something. You have permission to say amen. Amen. I'll say that again. You have... No, you've got permission to shout if you want to. Glory. Amen. You've got permission. You don't even need permission, but I just want you to know you can. The name of this church is Liberty Faith, amen. And so if you just want to shout, praise God, raise your hand, have a good time, you do that today. But I don't preach a message I ain't preached in a long time. My daddy one time, I was preaching, for a long time, I never preached the same message twice. And one day I said something to my dad about it. He said, son, we sing Amazing Grace over and over again. He said, if it's a good message, it won't hurt to preach it twice, but I think there's enough preaching I'll never get preached. But this morning, for about 2 weeks, God's been burdening my heart to preach this message. And so I'm going to preach this morning. I'm just going to have a good time. There is a bunch of seats right up here, wide open seats, them $2 seats right there behind them pits boys. You know, them, you old folks there in the back, do you know how much them seats are? Mr. Lakey, do you have any idea how much them seats are back there? They're $35 a piece. I can afford it. Okay. Forget it. All righty. Amen. All righty. Boy, I tell you what, I thank the Lord. God's good. Amen. And God is so good. And we've had some saints in this church go on to heaven this week. And we're all the following right behind. But let's just praise the Lord and enjoy our good faith. I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to be able to rejoice even at death. You know, we sorrow, but yet we rejoice in that. Well, do pray for Mandy. Her daddy passed away. Pray for Sister Carol's family. Her sister-in-law passed away. And the boys that worked for the boys, his wife deceased and this week. And just a lot of people really need prayer. So if you got those calls, those emails, please pray. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, everybody ought to say amen right there. Amen. The author and finisher of our faith, everybody ought to say amen right there. Amen. Boy, we're getting them trained right here. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down. He's finished. Amen. In that Old Testament tabernacle, the priest couldn't ever sit down because it was never done. But when Jesus put his blood on the mercy seat, it was over with, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and it is finished. Amen. Lord, we need your help today. We bless and praise and glory your holy name. Lord, if we don't do anything else today in this service, we want to bless the name of the Lord. We want to come to worship and praise your holy name and thank you for being God Almighty, wonderful, merciful, compassionate, righteous, holy, eternal, gracious, good. Lord, we bless your holy name. We thank you for saving us through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for keeping us by your power. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in the past, for what you're doing now, and what you're going to do in the future. And God, we pray now that you'd anoint us and fill us with the Holy Ghost to preach the Word of God. I pray, Lord, today that you'll encourage these people, that you'll build these people up in the most holy faith. And Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind the shadow of the cross and that somehow or another, God, that Jesus Christ would be lifted up in the eye of their soul and they'd see the Lord. God, I pray, help me to preach today in a way that would glorify you and aggravate the devil. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach today an old message entitled, the look of a winner. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. You're looking at a preacher. You're looking at a man that does not like to lose. I know in life sometimes there are issues where we lose a little bit. But overall, I know that this, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Bible says this, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The Bible said this is the victory, even our faith. If there's anything the Bible teaches, that God is the ultimate victor of this universe, and that the children of God are winners. Now, let me tell you something. I loved basketball when I was in high school. It wasn't worth a dime at it, and still not, but I sure did like it. I've mentioned here recently again about the Bradleyville Eagles in 1965, 1967. They had a string there for about 7 or 8 years. They won 3 state championships. And in 1 2-year period, they won, I believe, it was 67 games in a row, never lost a game. Little old school of about, I don't know, maybe 125 kids altogether. I'm going to tell you, they whooped everybody they came to. And there's a separate message about that entitled The Fundamentals of the Christian Faith. And the reason they beat everybody is because they had the fundamentals down. But there's another reason they won, and that's because they looked at the right things. Their coach would never allow them to watch bad players. Did you know, coaching, when I was in high school, this is just common coaching, you don't take your basketball team to a group of players that's lost 62-1-1. And you don't set them up in the bleachers and say, now, boys, keep your eye on that number 62. He fumbles it every time he gets it. Do like he does. Ain't nobody does that, amen? Amen. Did you know that what you're looking at is going to be the determining factor about the winning attitude and the winning victory that you have in your life? You can be a winner. I'm telling you what I believe, that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm sick and tired of watching and viewing a Christianity that acts like it's whipped, defeated, beat, and out. Let me tell you something. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible gives you, this is a life manual. And if you will pay attention to this message, I have used this truth that I'm preaching to you for 30-some years in the ministry. It has served me well. I have sat when it looked like everything around me was falling apart, and when in the eyes of humanity it looked like altogether defeat, and yet looked at this passage of Scripture and knew that even in the midst of what looked like defeat, that my God was going to win a victory through it, and he has done it over and over and over and over again. The first look, if you want to be a winner in this life and in eternity, is being able to look back at the saints of God. Look at verse number 1. Wherefore seeing, there's that look, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The Bible says here that God says, I want you to see something. I want you to see the saints of God, the witnesses that have gone on before you. If you want to be a winner, write it down. Always look back at the saints of God. Let me give you an illustration of this. You just got out of chapter 11 when you pull into chapter 12. Chapter 11 is the great chapter of faith heroes in the Bible. If you want to be a winner in life, look at Abel. Let's turn back to chapter 11. If you want to win in life, you don't keep your eyes on this losing world. You don't keep your eyes on junk. You go back and look at the people who won. Abel was killed, but he was yet a winner. The Bible said, he being dead yet speaketh. The Bible teaches us that we look at Abel and learn that he knew that you weren't saved by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to your mercy. And he knew that you were saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say to you, we're winners through faith in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us further about a man by the name of Enoch. If you want to live a winning life, look at Enoch. The Bible said he was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him before his translation. He had this testimony that he pleased God. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. You want to be a winner in life? Look back and watch Enoch and watch that man. Let me tell you something. We got a basketball team right here. But how many games you guys lost this year, Kenny? 4 or 5. But you know, I hear that most of the public schools around here are afraid to play. Is that true or not? Some of them. You know who it is? It's the ones that are afraid that you're going to get beat. You know what I know about you basketball players? You're watching the great players. You're watching their moves. You're watching how they do it. I'm telling you, if you want to be a winner spiritually, you look at the people of God. You quit watching Orphra. You quit watching The View. You quit watching trash and junk and losers. You quit watching Hollywood's movies and you look at the people of God who were winners. Abel was a winner. Enoch was a winner. And the Bible teaches us about Noah. Years ago when I started having kids, Karen had them anyway. We started having kids. I'll tell you what, I got serious about life. And I had three little boys. And one day I was reading Noah, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, not having things not seen as yet. And the Bible said he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, but by which he was made righteous. Let me tell you something. I looked at Noah's life, so I flipped back in the book of Genesis and started reading about Noah. And I found out if there's ever a winner in this world, it was Noah, amen. The rest of them drowned and he floated out of that place. So I decided I was going to build an ark to the saving of my house. Amen. I watched a winner and it works. Quit looking at this world's junk. Quit looking at this world's losers. I'm telling you, some of you guys have got posters up on your wall of Michael Jackson and all that trash. I'm going to tell you, Michael Jackson's a loser and he's in hell. Amen. Just well, call it like it is. Get them stinking posters off your wall of all them singing in Hollywood stars and get some men of God up on the walls that were truly, honestly winners. Amen. Brother, I'm going to tell you what, Noah was a winner. Then it says, by faith, Abraham. I watch Abraham's life. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. He was a winner. He believed God and staggered not the promises of God and believed God when it didn't look like it could be. And then you look at Sarah, and she was a winner. The Bible said she judged him faithful who had promised. She believed God's promises. And let me tell you something. God gave her a child. Then you come on down to Isaac and Jacob and Esau and Joseph. Then you come down to Moses. Man, you talk about a winner. Oh, Moses was a winner. Amen. I'll tell you, walks up to the Red Seas in front of him, mountains on each side, and the Egyptian army to his back. Raised that old staff up and says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know what? The water split across, went on the other side. They turn around and watched Pharaoh and his armies drown. I am telling you, this Bible is full of winners. And if you want to have a winning life, I've lived a winning life. I've lived a winning life. That's already won, amen. I'm going to win for eternity through Jesus Christ. God is telling you and I in Hebrews chapter 12, look at these people, study these people. If I was you young ladies back here, I'd tell you that there wouldn't be a woman in the Bible I didn't know good. You need to know Sarah. You need to know Rebecca. You need to know Hagar. You need to know Hagar. You need to know Mary. You need to know all them great women of the Bible. The reason we ain't got great women is because they're not looking at great women. You are today and soon will be the people that you're watching and looking at and imitating. Imitation is the greatest form of admiration. Imitate the women of the Bible. Imitate the men of the Bible. Further that, you go to Moses. He said he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect in the recompense of the reward, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Takes you all the way through there. Joshua and Rahab, Daniel and Jephthah and Barak, David and Samuel. You know, I think about David. I look back at David. If I want to get hope when I'm down, I look at old David. I tell you, David sinned. He messed up. But brother, I'm going to tell you something. You look at him, what'd he do? And if you'll watch David, you'll learn that we'll wind up being a winner too and do like David did. Let me say something to you. I look not only like to look at people of the faith in the Bible, but I like to look at Christian people out of the Bible. Now, because I'm a preacher, a lot of times, you know what I've done all down through the years? Let me tell you something. When I started auctioneering, I didn't go try to listen to a guy that mumbled and bumbled and you couldn't hear a word he was saying and he couldn't sell nothing to nobody. I went and studied the best auctioneers in the country. I went and watched old Eddie Sims. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I went and watched old Eddie Sims out in Lawton, Oklahoma. He is a cattle seller. I'll tell you what, he's a selling machine. I tell you what, and he jumped on the block. There wasn't nobody in that whole building asleep. I mean, he could keep you awake, and I mean, he sells cattle so fast, and everybody there could hear him and what he was saying, what he was doing. And you know what I said? I won't be like that. I'm not going to mumble around. I wanted to be the best I could be. I'll tell you what, when I got to preaching, I didn't want to get up here mumble and bumble around and say the same. I know I say the same thing, but I'm telling you, I try to preach that old book, amen. I went to see preachers, and I'd go visit preachers that had the power of God on them, preachers that were in the book, preachers that were studying, preachers get to the point like where they had the anointing of God on them. I didn't want to just be an average preacher. I just wanted to do half-heartedly for God. I wanted to give God the best I could be. I tell you what, so I started reading about them. I started reading about preachers that was dead and gone, and it fires me up. I got to reading about old Sam Jones. Sam Jones one day got a message, and he said, "Sam, get down here." He said, "There's a family that the daddy's been bitten by a rattlesnake, and the family wants you to come." Well, Sam Jones had been trying to get them folks in church for years, and they wouldn't come to church. And so Sam goes down there to that old house, and he walks in there, and the daddy's in there, and he's been bitten by a rattlesnake. And the kids is all gathered in, and everybody's a-crying. And they said, "Sam, we believe God hears your prayers. Pray for Daddy that he'll live." And so Sam dropped on his knees and said, "Dear God, thank you for this rattlesnake bite. They've never had time for a preacher before. They've never wanted to pray before. So, Lord, would you send more rattlesnakes?" Amen. You know, we ain't got preachers like that nowadays. God, do whatever you got to do to get their attention and get them in church and get them saved, amen. I've heard about old Sam Jones going down to the sheriff in the county where he's at. Sam Jones been preaching against liquor, they used to be preachers that preached in the United States that literally could shut the liquor industry down. In Arkansas, you still got dry counties. Come in, Mordecai Ham, whom Billy Graham was saved under, when he pulled into town and set up his tent, most of the time the liquor industry was shut down in those towns. That's how powerful he was. Well, Sam Jones was called one day to the sheriff's office. Said, "The sheriff's a-dying." Said, "The sheriff's a-dying." And went down there, and Sam says, "You know what? This is honest truth." Now, this is the story, if they're telling it true, that Sam Jones, the preacher, was walking down the street of town. A man runs up to him and says, Sam said, "The sheriff's a-dying, and he sent for you. You know what Sam Jones said? "Didn't let the old sucker die." I said, "He sent more people to hell in this county than anybody I know. So it'll be good riddance." Said he sold more liquor and passed out more liquor than anybody in this town. "We get rid of him, we get rid of a lot of liquor." Said there'd be a lot less people die and go to hell, a lot less wives get beat by their husbands, a lot less children without a daddy. Sam Jones went home, walked in the house, told his wife, and his wife turned around in the kitchen, said, "Sam, that ain't right." Said, "Sam, Jesus died for the sheriff too." Sam said, "I guess you're right, honey." And Sam walked down, headed down toward the jail. Walked in there, and he could hear him breathing when he stepped through the door. Sam went back there, and the sheriff grabbed him. Said, "Sam, pray for me, Sam. Pray for me, Lord. I promise you, Sam, if God will save me and I don't die, I'll quit selling liquor and I'll get saved and I'll be in church." Sam says, "You mean that, Sheriff?" "Oh, Sam, I mean that with everything in me." Old Sam dropped on his knees and said, "Dear Lord, you've just heard this sheriff say that if you'd keep him alive and not let him die and go to hell, that he'd get saved and live for you and quit selling liquor. Lord, if he's telling the truth, I pray you heal him. If he's lying, kill him right now." That's straight preaching, amen? That's straight preaching. I kind of like old Peter Cartwright, that old Methodist circuit riding preacher. He had a guy that hated his guts. He met him one day. They was both riding horses. Peter was coming this way, and the old boy was going this way. And they got up there just about real close, and the old boy started cussing him. I mean, just blue streak cussing old Peter Cartwright, the preacher. And I'm cussing him and cussing him. And old Peter just acted real calm until they got right beside him, and then he just waylaid him, chinned him right there with his fist, knocked him off his horse. Now, this is a preacher. I know preachers ain't supposed to be strikers. But Peter Cartwright did. He knocked him off his horse, jumped off his horse, jumped on top of him, beat him for a while, and the guy said, let me up. And Peter said, "No, Peter Cartwright said, I ain't letting you up till you repent and get saved." Amen. I don't know what happened, but anyway, There's another one. I forget what the old boy's name was down there. Checked into to an inn down there, and he got his room up there. And pretty soon there's a fiddle playing, and boy, there's a dancing around. They turned the deal into a dance hall, and they're all the dancing down there. And he got up, went down to see what was going on. And this young lady saw the preacher man, and she walked over to the side of him about half drunk. She said, "Come on, preacher man, get out here and dance with me." And she come out there, and he walked out there on the floor with her. Boy, everybody's looking. He says, "Ma'am," she says, "come on, dance with you." He says, "Ma'am, I'm going to dance with you, but I always pray before I do anything." And he took her arm and just pulled her down. And he started praying. And he prayed. And pretty soon people started falling on their knees and getting saved. And this is a true story. That alehouse was turned into a church, and the people that were there started the congregation. They started a church out of that alehouse. I'm talking about looking at the saints of God. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. My mama's sitting back here this morning, and I don't tell you whether she likes it or not. She's an old saint of God. And I look back at my mama. You know why I don't like to miss church? Because I was taught not to miss church. And I remember a cold winter day back, oh, I don't know, when I was maybe 6 or 7 years old, but I can remember it like it was today. And I'm telling you something, my mama, the snow, oh, when I was 6 or 7 years old, honey, I thought it must have been 3 or 4 foot deep. It probably was only 12 or 14, but I thought we was in a big snow. And I thought, sure, Sister Connie, we ain't going to church today. There won't be nobody at church today. Nobody was going up and down the highway. We didn't have four-wheel drive trucks. And if you get out in that stuff, the only thing you could drive was a tractor. My mama went and got the wood wagon, a little two-wheel wagon, little box on it, and she put hay inside it. And then she got blankets and put around us boys. And then she hooked the 420 John Deere tractor up to it. And up the road we went to church. And I remember having the biggest time of my life. We're going to church. Why, it's like having a sled ride in the snow. But my mama says, "We're going to church. I promised God I'd take you boys to church." Mama, I thank you for doing that. I want to tell you, my mom and daddy sitting right here this morning, and I was a boy growing up, and I'm not near the spiritual people there, because you know what? Zachary, I tried to slip upstairs many a night so we didn't have to pray. And I've heard my daddy say, "Boys, come back downstairs. We haven't prayed yet." And then daddy'd get out his old Bible storybook, and they'd read a story in the Bible. And then we'd get on our knees and pray as a family, and I have failed in my family. I want to tell you, you need to look back to saints once in a while. Oh, and I think about an old preacher. Some of you ever heard him preach, but you ain't heard preach unless you heard him preach. His name is Ronnie Simpson. This is a funny story. Oh, Ronnie Simpson got saved. His daddy was a preacher, but he was like Oscar Cunningham. He didn't get saved till late. He'd had enough religion choking goats, you know. Some of you have had enough religion choke your goat. Get salvation and you won't be choking no more. Get that religion out of your throat and you'll be all right. But anyway, Ronnie Simpson got saved. And he said, "I started going to church," and he said, "Man, I was excited." And he said, "I'd sit in that," scoot over a little bit, sister, would you? He said, "I'd sit in that seat," and he said, "That preacher would preach on short dresses." And I'd jump up and say, "Amen, preach it, preacher." Boy, he said he'd preach on drinking. I'd jump up and say, "Amen, preach it, preacher." And he said pretty soon he'd lay his old bony arm across that pulpit and say, "And a bunch of you suckers out there sucking on them cigarettes." And Ronnie said, "I sat real still because I still a smoking." And he said, "My wife was sitting there and she takes her elbow and goes, 'Come on, big boy, shout now.'" He said, "I'd jump up and preach him on everything till it come to cigarettes." And he said, the funny thing about it was, every Sunday he preached on cigarettes. Every Sunday. You know, when you're doing something that ain't right, they preach on it all the time. He said, finally one week, he said, "I was out home," and he said, "It just eaten me up that I couldn't amen him." And he said, "I told God, 'God, I've tried to quit smoking. I can't quit smoking.'" And God said, "That's right, you ain't big enough. I'll take it away from you quick as you get done with yourself." Oh, Ronnie said, God took him away from me, and he said, "I thought, glory to God, I can't wait for Sunday." He said, "Wait till he preaches on sucking on cigarettes." He said, "I sat there," and he said, I was waiting on him, and he preached the whole message, never did mention it. He said, "I went back to church the next Sunday." He said, "He's got to hit it this week. I was sitting there just waiting. And he said, never did mention it. But he said, the third Sunday, The third Sunday, he said about halfway through the message, "You, some of you suckers back there are sucking on them cigarettes." He said, I jumped up and said, "Hallelujah, I don't suck them no more, amen." You know, it was old Billy Sunday that said, you know what you like preaching, it's just your cat's turned wrong. He said, if you get your cat turned right, and said that cat will just purr. He said, when you're preaching and people's hearts are right, they just purr. But he said, if you turn the cat around, he said, most people just need to get their cat turned right. That's what Billy Sunday said. Amen. Oh, listen, I get encouraged. I don't want to look at Lucy. I don't want to look at that preacher and say, oh, I quit. I tried preaching. I quit. There's a woman looked at me odd one Sunday. I quit. I ain't looking at them guys, amen. I don't talk about, listen to me. I think about old James Stewart. Oh, I love this story. I love old James Stewart. He's not the movie star, the preacher. Most of you don't know a thing about him. But old James Stewart got up there about 19, 22 years old, and his daddy had died years ago. And he was working there in town, and he's still living with mama, trying to help his mom. And he said, every day my mama would get up. He said, I like my routine. He said, I'd get up. He said, my mama had my oatmeal cooked and my bread laying there. And said, I'd eat my oatmeal. And then I'd go to work. But he said, every morning of my life after I was grown, said, my mama's been in her bedroom back in there. Oh, God, save James. Don't let James die and go to hell. Oh, God, save James. I'm sitting there, oatmeal. I learned to eat oatmeal here. And, oh, God, don't let James die and go to hell. Oh, God, don't let James die and go to hell. And he said, I just got to where it didn't mean nothing to me. Oh, God, don't let James die and go to hell. Oatmeal. He said, yeah, I was old. He said, I'd get up and get my lunch back and head out down the street and just head off down the street. He said, one morning, I was eating my oatmeal. And he said, all of a sudden, my mama, woo! Glory to God! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! And she comes busting out of the bedroom, grabs James by the shoulder while he's eating, throws oatmeal out of his spoon. James, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved! He says, Mama, I am not saved. Oh, yes, you are, because God told me you're going to be. You see, in Romans chapter 4, it says you can pray those things that are not so they can be. She prayed that thing through. James said, I left my oatmeal bowl half empty, the spoon on the floor, and grabbed my lunchbox and stomped out of there. Slammed the screen door, got down to work, mad as a hornet. About 2 hours later, said, I kind of halfway cooled off, and he says, don't ask me what this is, but he said something like Holy Ghost conviction hit me. And he said, all I could start thinking about was dying and going to hell. James, oh God, don't let James die and go to hell. And he said, all of a sudden, now you listen to me. People don't know much about this these days, but when you get under conviction of the Holy Ghost, you're going to look for a Savior and you ain't going to wait long about it. What we're missing in our churches is old time Holy Ghost conviction. I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost it stands up in the middle of service, puts his finger on top of your head and the other in your heart, and said, God is going to send you to hell if you don't get saved. And you're thinking, will that preacher ever shut his mouth so I can get saved? And James Stewart knew there's a Christian man that worked over there. And he went over to him and he said, sir, he said, I got to get saved. Would you pray with me? I don't know, but I've got to get saved. And James Stewart said, that man took him over behind a boulder. And he said, we knelt down there, kind of got out of the way and said, knelt down there and said, he led me in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said, I jumped up and said, glory to God, I'm saved. He said, I went over to my foreman and said, hey, my mama, I just got saved. My mama's going to be so excited. Could I hit break and go down and tell my mama? I'll be back as soon as I get. Said, yeah, go tell your mom you got saved. He said, I took off down the sidewalk. He said, I thought my soul, mama shouted this morning, what will she do now when I got saved? He said, I came in there. He said, I slung that front door open and she's sitting in there in a rocking chair knitting. And he goes, mama, mama, mama. She says, yeah, I know you got saved. Amen. Amen. Hey, That's what kind of mamas you need to have, amen. She threw a chain around his leg and he couldn't go to hell. She had him by the leg of prayer, amen. She had him by the leg of prayer. I'm telling you, listen, we need to understand, we need to get back to looking at the saints of God. Do you know why I get enthused every Sunday, Randy? It's because I don't keep my eyes focused on a bunch of losers and quitters and stoppers and goners and quainers and compliners. I tell you what, I keep my eyes on the winning team, amen. And that's looking back. And if you want to be a winner, look back in the Bible. Go back and study those men. Study those women. Read about the great missionaries. Read about the people who died for their faith. I want to tell you something. There's people shed their blood, burned at the stake so you could sit in this church this morning and worship Jesus Christ freely. Now, number two. That was my introduction. I ain't joking. I could preach on that all day long. I could just go on and on. Oh, I got to give you one more out of the Bible. In Acts chapter 16 and 15, the Apostle Paul, he got arrested for preaching. Then they laid his back wide open. Then they put him in stocks in prison, in the inner prison. Silas is with him. And it's midnight. And their back's laid open. And the flies are buzzing them. And the blood's running down everywhere. And their feet and their body and they're numb. And Silas looks over at Paul. And says, I never should have come with you. If I'd known this was going to happen, I wouldn't come on this missionary trip. Paul says, nobody made you come. And they started cussing each other out and got mad at each other. Paul looked up at heaven and said, God, I tried to serve you. Now look what happened to me. Is this what I get for serving Jesus? Ain't true, is it? Jackson's sitting over going. He wasn't going to let me get by with lying on the Bible. What'd they do, Jackson? They sung and praised God. Midnight. Hey, oh, I know we've had a tough week. I know your cat died. And I know your dog, he had to have a shot. And it was a tough week. And I know you almost witnessed to somebody, but didn't quite get there. It was tough. It's bad, eh? I mean, it's pretty bad. Those guys at midnight with the back laid open, hand in stock, whipped, and told not to preach, were singing and praising God. Hey, Silas, strike up Amazing Grace. And they started singing. Amazing Grace. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. Them other jailers got to, what in the world's wrong with them guys? I'll tell you, if you're somebody you want to study, study Joseph. Down there in prison, been sold by his brothers 13 years down there. Sold out, brother, lied on everybody, and his brother done dirty, and a dog been done dirty, and anybody's ever been done all together in this church. Right. Come whistling in the dungeon. Two men sitting there looking down. What's the matter with you guys? Oh, we had a bad dream. I want to tell you something. You look at that Bible, it will give you people that are winners. And I'm not joking. I'm not just preaching. These will give you people. Second thing, I ain't got time to do all this. Second thing is, the Bible said, let us therefore lay aside every weight and every sin. This is the second look if you want to be a winner. Now listen, first look is what? Look back at the saints. I don't want to preach to all I preach and you not get it. First look is what? Look back at the saints of God. If you want to be a winner, keep your eyes on people that were winners. Number two, if you want to be a winner, look at yourself. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Are you reading your Bible? That's in that verse. Let us, that's the second look. I'm going to tell you something. Reggie Kelly never became a winner until Brother Jeremy, one night sitting in church, I said the truth to myself. I said, the truth about you, Reg, is you're a stinking hypocrite. You go to church every Sunday, but I'm telling you what, you're a drunk, you're a fornicator, you're a liar. It's all about you. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And you ain't never going to be a winner as long as you're lying to yourself about who you are. You want to be a winner. The Bible said, let a man examine himself to see whether he be in the faith. I'm going to tell you something right now. The best thing you'll ever do is get honest with yourself. If you're sitting in this church house this morning and you've never been saved, you ain't never going to be a winner until you get honest with yourself. Number two, if you are saved and you've got besetting sins that you are not willing to let God work with, you are never going to win until you let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now listen to me right now. If I was going to have a foot race, it said, let us run the race with patience. Okay, that's what that verse talks about there. If I was having a race today, and I tell you what, I said, Sid, I'll tell you what, dude, we're going to run a race. Get up, come on, Sid, help me just a little bit here. We're going to run a race, all right? So Sid comes up here, and I said, I'm going to tell you, I don't give a rip if I am 62 years. How old are you?
I'm 16.
16 years old. You think you can beat this 62-year-old guy? You're crazy. So I walk up here, and we're going to have a race. We set the date, and I come up here, and I've got on coveralls. I've got on great big old rubber boots. Now, he's up here, you know, in his basketball uniform and a set of tennis shoes on. And he looks at me. He says, Reggie, I don't want to insult you, but, you know, running in rubber boots is kind of stupid. And to be honest with you, Reggie, you're not even going to hardly see me go by you. Now, he's not being mean to me. He's just telling me the truth. And he's saying this, you know, Reggie, why don't you take off the coveralls and get you something that you can run in? And why don't you take off the rubber boots, the chore boots, and get you on something you can move with? Why don't you lay aside the weight and the sin? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Sid, you can sit down. Thank you so much. I'm going to tell you something. I am not telling you my besetting sins. It ain't your business. And yours ain't my business. But most everybody's got them. And God's saying simply this. If you want to win your race, you want to be a winner. Can you imagine coming into a race and I come in, you know, with my you know, chore coveralls and my Carhartts and my Carhartt overcoat and my big rubber boots, you know, that weighs about 22 pounds? I'm not going to win. I'm just going to chug along and wear myself out. let me say something to you. We talked about smoking a while ago, and I'm not jumping. I'm just using this for illustration. The Bible does not say that if you smoke cigarettes, you're going to die and go to hell. That is not what it says. I like that old time saying, Brother B.R. Lake, and the lady asked her one time, Brother B.R., said, can a person ditch enough and still go to heaven? He said, yeah, but you have to go to hell to spit. Did y'all get that one? Okay. You still go to heaven and choose and dip snuff, but you have to go to hell to spit. But anyway, now you say, well, I tell you right now in the Bible, I don't see nowhere in the Bible says I can't dip skull. That's right. That's right. Does not say anywhere in the Bible, thou shalt not dip skull. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to run a good race and you don't win it, I'd get rid of that. Because the first time you walk up, somebody try to witness to him, and you're going, hey, running, it looks like you've got diarrhea of the mouth. You can hand them all tracts you want to, and you can buy them in church all you want to, but they're going to use that. They're going to use that. I'll tell you right now, I know the Bible says this about dress and all that, but I'll tell you right now, I like to wear them dresses up high. I don't read anywhere in the Bible if I wear my dresses up this high that I'm going to die and go to hell. That's right. That's right. I understand. But can I tell you something? That's hindering your race. And they're just a lot of little besetting sins and stuff, you know. And did you know that fishing can become a besetting sin? Golfing or four-wheeler riding or hunting or anything else can become a besetting sin. And you know, and what God says, listen, if you want to be a winner, just lay that aside. You ever see them guys come up here? They're going to do baseball, okay? And they're in this little circle. They're on deck. And they got these little donuts on the bat, right? The little weights. Well, they're doing this right here, and they're doing this right here, you know? And I was the funniest thing in the world. One time I was watching a ball game, and a guy stepped out of the on deck to his turn to bat, walked into the batter's box, and he had those donuts on his bat. Boy, he's been doing this, you know? And the referee goes, whoa, 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 whoa. Told the pitcher, umpire said, hey, stupid. You forgot to take your donuts off. And the guy looked at him and says, that's none of your business. I can play ball with donuts on my bat if I want to. And the umpire said, yeah, you can. But you ain't going to do nothing. And he didn't. But you can sit and argue with the preacher and argue with God and argue with your mom and dad all your life if you want to. And you can go around with those stupid weights, swinging your bat with the little weights on. But you're not going to be a winner. Let me tell you something, be a winner. I mentioned David a while ago. David had a weight on him. And it was lust. And old Nathan the prophet came to him one day, told him a little story about a lamb. Man had one little lamb, and how a guy stole it, took it, and sacrificed it. David got mad, veins popped out on his face, and said, "He ought to die!" And old Nathan did something pretty tough. He said, "Thou art the man." And David could have blowed up. He could have said, "I'll tell you what you do, Nathan. Hey, preacher man, you get your backside out of the palace and don't you ever step foot in here again." But I want to tell you why David was, I want to give you the secret of why in the New Testament it says David was a man after God's own heart. You get this, if you don't mean anything else I get this morning. David did not cuss the preacher out. David didn't get mad at God, and he didn't get mad at the messenger. David wrote Psalms 51 as a result. "God be merciful. I have sinned. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Thy loving kindness. God be merciful unto me." You know what David did? He humbled himself and said, can I tell you something? David wasn't lost. He was messed up bad. But I want to tell you what that makes David a man and a winner. Because God lists him in the 11th chapter of Hebrews as a winner. What made David a winner was not that he failed, but that he would be honest about it when dealt with. And I'm going to tell you right now, what will make you a winner is not that you'll never sin, not that you'll never do anything, something wrong, but what do you do when God deals with you about it? I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to. This week, Karen and I was having a little discussion, and she was trying to explain some stuff to me, and I just got out of sorts about it. And I just, Lord, just be honest about it, wasn't very Christian-like. I resurrected my old man. You know what, Phil? I kind of just sauntered off to bed. I got back here in the bedroom, it's like God says, "I'll tell you what you do, buddy. You try preaching Sunday morning. You try preaching Sunday morning with that attitude toward that little wife I gave you that's been so good to you, bear six children for you, cooked your meals and washed your dirty clothes, stood by you through thick and thin." So I went in my study and got a piece of paper out and I wrote, "I'm sorry. I'd like you to forgive my attitude, my words." Uncle Bud Robinson was an old holiness preacher. B.R. Lakin said he believed in being sanctified holiness. He said, "I believe he's the only one I ever knew that was." Buddy Robinson was on a train one time going to a meeting, and he pulled into this deal there, and he's going to go catch another train, switching trains, and he went to the window. He stuck his ticket through the lid and said, "Man, will that take me on to so-and-so?" And she looked at it and said, "No, it won't do it." He said, "Well, ma'am, I believe it will." I said, "Would you look at it again?" She said, "Sir, I'm telling you, it will not get you. You're going to have to buy a new ticket." And it just frustrated him. And he said, "Before I walked up that window and started that, the birds was chirping in my soul and the honeysuckle was growing up the sides of my ribs." And he said, "I was just happy as a lark." But he said, "Somehow or another, her telling me that my ticket wouldn't do that started getting under my hide." And he said, "We went back and forth two or three times." Said, "Next thing I know," said, "I was throwing that ticket in and said, 'Ma'am, I believe it will. I don't believe you're right.'" And he said, "All of a sudden, there wasn't no birds chirping." He said, "All of a sudden, the honeysuckle started wilting on my vine." And he said, "I stomped off, went back to my little room on the train." So they got back here, "You know, I'm going to be spiritual, picked up my Bible, going to read it. Bless God." He said, "I'm trying to read my Bible. It's like reading nothing." You ever been there? He said, "The Holy Ghost said, 'Brother Buddy, you didn't speak right to that woman. You need to go get that fixed.'" He said, "That's called the Lord's painkiller." He said, "I walked back down there a lot slower than I left. We usually walk slower back to repent than we did." But he said this, and I tell you, I appreciate this. He said, "I stuck my head back there and said, 'Ma'am, I need to talk to you.' She looked at him like, what do you want? He said, ma'am, said, I left here and the Lord smote me that I'm a Christian and I didn't speak to you right. I need you to forgive me. Ma'am, would you forgive me? She said, yes, sir, I forgive you. And Uncle Buddy said, I heard a little chirp, chirp. That happened to me the other night when I got right with my wife, Dean. Chirp, chirp. I can go to bed. It's okay. Lord said, you can preach Sunday now. I got to wrap this up. There's a third look, and to be honest with you, if you don't get this one, you'll never be a winner because the first two are preliminary to the third. Number one, you look back to the saints of God. Number two, you look at yourself. Be honest with yourself. Hey, listen, if you sinned, you sinned. If you sinned, you sinned. Get it right. If you're doing things that's hindering your walk with God, and you know it's hindering you, get rid of it. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not spiritual enough to have a TV. I'm so stupid, I'll just go. I'll just look at it. I mean, you know, maybe other people can. I just honestly can't. I'll waste my life. I won't read as much Bible. I won't think as much. Karen said, that'd be good. But anyway, look at yourself. God asks us to do that at communion. Examine yourself. Judge yourself, see? If you want to be a winner, hey, listen to me. Don't wait on the preacher to get up here on Sunday morning and plow you up. That's stupid. Then I promise you, if you wait till the preacher preaches on it, the devil's going to climb on your lap and say, he's got it in for you. I bet he heard about that. He's just really picking on you. And you'll go, you know, you're probably right, liar. Third look is second verse. Here's what it says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Boy, if you want to be a winner, this second look, looking at yourself, don't do that too long. Don't do that too long. Look long enough to be honest, and then turn your focus to Jesus Christ. Amen. Look unto Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin. Reggie may not forgive you. Your wife may not forgive you. Your children may never forgive you. But Jesus will forgive you. Look unto Jesus, your creator. Look unto Jesus for salvation. Look unto Jesus for redemption. Look unto Jesus for comfort. Look unto Jesus for hope. Look unto Jesus for love. Look unto Jesus for faith. Look unto Jesus to get out of this old sinful world. Look unto Jesus to get a new glorified body. Look unto Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look unto Jesus as your substitute, as your sacrifice. Look unto Jesus as your intercessory. Look unto Jesus at the cross where he bore your sins. Look unto Jesus in the tomb where he took your sins away. Look unto Jesus risen from the dead, victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave. Look unto Jesus ascended back on high, interceding for you right now. And look unto Jesus coming in power and in glory. Let me tell you something. Every time that I can promise you this, you know I'm preaching you the truth. One of the things Satan's going to do to you, you won't no more get in your car and he'll try to get your mind off Jesus. He'll try to make you look at how bad it is and how stupid it is and all the problems and trouble. Get your mind off of Christ. And I thank God that he said he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's stand. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you today that we don't have to look at our failures or our successes. We don't have to compare ourselves among ourselves. We don't have to look at this sick and dying and condemned and cursed and damned world. We can look unto you. And Lord, I pray today for these people that you'll give them the grace of God to look unto Jesus. Lord, when trouble comes, look unto Jesus. When death comes, look unto Jesus. When sickness comes, look unto Jesus. When financial troubles come, look unto Jesus. Lord, when despair comes, look unto Jesus. When friends are gone, look unto Jesus. When they've been betrayed, look unto Jesus. When they've been lied on, look unto Jesus. When it looks like all their life's labor is sunk and vanished away and been blown away, help them to look unto Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you're the author and the finisher of our faith. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the winning formula. So God, help us to look back at those people who've been through the same trials we're going through, and even worse, and to see how they responded in faith and to see how you took them through. Lord, enable us to look at Daniel and all those great men and women of the Bible. Lord, help us to look at ourselves with honesty and to lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And then, Lord, I pray, help us, Lord, every day to look unto Jesus. Jesus, I want to thank you for being so real to my heart. I want to thank you for all that you are. Lord Jesus, you are our hope. And outside of you, we are hopeless. But Lord, today with you, there's more hope than there is in the Atlantic Ocean. We can't no more drink it up than we could drink up the ocean. God, I want to say we love you. I pray that you'll bless this message to the hearts of these people. And Lord, let them know that in Christ, they're always and continuously in triumph. That they are winners. I thank you, Lord, for pulling me off that losing team that I was on. And putting me on the winning side. I love you, Lord. I thank you for just letting me preach this old message. Because I need it every once in a while, Lord. Bless these families, these marriages. Keep them together, Lord. Encourage them. I pray for Brother Clark and his family today. The Lord, for Sister Tucker's family, I pray for them. I pray, Lord, for Shane. Help him, dear God. For Glenda and her family today, Lord. Lord, for Mandy and her family. Lord, the people that are grieving around us, help us try to be a blessing to them, Lord, and help them to keep their eyes on Jesus. Help them to look unto you, Lord, today. Oh, Lord, it's good to know that even in death, we are winners. In Jesus' name, amen.